They ask me what's your wildest dream. I don't sleep for my dreams to come to life. I write them down and I work at what my purpose is and they happen. Because when I write down, I don't write how I'm going to meet, I'm going to take a train or a flight or where we're going to meet. None of that. I just know it's going to happen. I see it happen. I feel it. The same way when I write the music, I see the crowd's response and it guides my writing before the song even exists. So my intuition plays a huge part. There's the element of my physical work that I do, and then there's the element of faith, belief, that is just immense beyond what you can physically do. I feel like for as long as you treat yourself as an independent and you don't have the power to get your name out there,
yeah,
use a label to get your name out there, but don't depend on it. If you're given like a 4 million,
yeah,
and you have to produce 4 albums, live in studio and produce. Leave the hype. The hype is going to be because of your product. So do what needs to be done.
Child, thank you so much for joining me. Oza, should we do that? The iconic. Thank you so much, man. I'm really honored. Like I said before we started recording, to say I'm counting my blessings. You know, I always say that everyone that I sit with there, it's a great mind. They're a great mind. And that's why I call it the hot seat, even though it's not the hot seat. It's just me just acknowledging the amazing people that I get the chance to speak to. So thank you so much for blessing me, for pulling through. You in the building for sure.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you look good, man. You look, and you guys know how to dress. You pulled up with your tweenie.
Yeah. I mean, I studied fashion.
Yeah.
But also being stylish is like something I grew up with. Because, like, fashion was a thing in my grandmother's house.
Mm.
And my mom also was, like, the alternative girl. She'd give me the stuff that's just, like, push it, you know? So it's in me. And then I got to study it to have the freedom to create whatever I think.
Yeah.
And here we are.
It runs in the family.
It's in the blood.
Whoa. Do you ever feel like you get misunderstood sometimes?
Ah, yes, all the time. I do, especially at home. It's crazy because, like, here, I'll be training for things like prostitute, hoe, slut, all those things. That time, I'm somewhere in Australia doing Commonwealth Games, but I'm training in South Africa. And there's, like, I did nothing. And then overseas, people take my existence for what it is, which is liberation, sex education, body positivity, you know, and ownership of what's yours. And so it's crazy how in the two worlds, like, our world grew up wearing beads and breastless, but they're the ones who are to sexualize a black girl owning their body.
Ooh.
And the world was dressed, but they're the one to see what I stand for and what I represent without me having to say too much.
Do you think maybe we lack a bit of knowledge this side, or we're behind with embracing creativity?
Definitely. I think we're definitely behind with embracing creativity. That's why a lot of the times you'll find, if you compare how many awards, for instance, Ladies Black Mambazo doing Africa has from overseas compared to home, just as simple as that, where our own hasn't gotten to a point where we appreciate it. And I definitely always think it's probably because a lot of kids, even now, are brought up by their grandparents who were also, who came up in a time where they needed permission to exist.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, imparting the idea of dreams are possible, everything is possible, you are magic, you are power, it's scarce, because a lot of the times you've got young mothers that are getting assistance from their parents who didn't come up in a time where freedom was preached. It was being fought for in the time. So I don't necessarily blame, because of knowing our history, because we're always playing catch up, you know? And so I understand.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And that's why we need people like you, you know.
It's not personal. They yeah. just don't know better.
But that's why we teach. That's yeah. why that's why we have such platforms so we can
exactly.
educate.
Exactly. Next week I could be training for the same thing, but those it's meant to touch, it touches them. And the others, for instance, the songs that they were trending last year, December, that I did 5 years ago, because the kids that were listening to them, they were listening to their parents and their parents' idea of me. And now that they're out of high school, they're hearing those things on some like, oh my goodness, she was right. Mm. And it's like, it's going to touch whoever it touches in the moment it touches them, because not all of us have experienced the same things at the same time, but we're going to, ultimately.
That's true.
And so my music is storytelling and it's reality. And therefore, until it hits you, you don't know. But I speak the truth. I live my truth. Mm. My people and my music, my experiences are my music. I tell on myself in my music. So if I've shut down as a person or I'm not giving you anything, just listen to the music. You'll know exactly what's going on with me, because that's my channel. That's my diary. And it fortunately brings light to others. Wow. And until others seek it, they'll find it as well.
Wow, man. I think I love that. I love that. And you mentioned something here that I just can't bypass. How do you then deal with like the backlash, knowing that you're somewhere overseas doing a thing, and then at home you are being painted in like a negative brush? How do you deal with that? Because as you say, like people need to catch up, and when they catch up, it's like aha. But in that moment,
I feel like actually I remember it was 2022. I was doing the Gorillaz tour.
Yeah.
And I was in the hotel room and Chicken and the Egg was trending. That time it was being sung in the stadiums that I filled up while I was opening for Gorillaz. And I'm like trending. And it's just like, what the hell? Once I saw the numbers, because they were mocking it, and the numbers was just like, what? Even my label was like, what's happening with Chicken and the Egg? It was trending in SA. They didn't know. While they were bullying, they didn't realize then they were making it trend. Mm. And it was good results on my part. But I remember I cried in the hotel room. And then after that day, I still did finish the tour. But after that day, I remember that day specifically, I was like, I'm done, actually. Screw this. I'm literally filling up stadiums here and I'm trending there for things that for rubbish.
Yeah.
And so I remember that day. It was 2022 and I was like, please, man. Because the thing is, being different is not just in my music. I've been different at creche. I've been different at primary school, at high school. I've been different. It's who I am. And whatever I do it my way, you know? So it's not always going to hit everyone at the same time. It's never going to do that. So just understanding that this is not going to change, really. Because now, for instance, having 4 FIFA songs, South Africa will say, I'm sleeping with FIFA bosses. What are you talking about? Like, you don't give me my flowers, child. Because, like, I've made history. And but in 2022, after the Chicken and the Egg one, in those moments, when I've got the energy, I just guara, I will clock you because I'm gonna have fun. So I will clock you, I will roast you, and you will not come back when I've got the energy. But it doesn't come from being hurt anymore. Mm-hmm. It comes from understanding that they don't get it yet. And the ones that do, that's why last year I spent 79 days in my country. It's like I visit home and I'm touring the whole year. Mm-hmm. So It was just getting to that point of like, hey, girl, relax. This is not going to change. You're going to hit another market and another market is going to have an idea and whatever, because you're just who you are in the world and there's no one like you.
And I think if you look at the research, most of the people that have succeeded in life is people who are like, you know what, screw what people think. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do me, and it always work. If I were to sit on this chair and pretend to be Mac G, it's not gonna work.
Mac G's taken.
Yeah, well, pretend to be Stephen Bartlett, it's not gonna work. Mm-hmm. Pretend to be Paul Pops, it's not gonna work. Mm-hmm. But I can only be me, and I'll find my market. I think I resonate a lot with that.
Definitely.
So now, you're a global superstar. Mm-hmm. Like, you are a global superstar. Like, that's why I'm blushing. I'll be blushing throughout this entire interview. So now you're a global superstar. I mean, you've traveled the world. You've worked with big names. You've been around the globe. What is it like when you are around the globe, seeing different people, different cultures? How does that now influence your creativity? Does that do something to how you create?
Subliminally,
yeah.
Everything inspires me because I'm a sponge. But for instance, I don't necessarily play music besides mine and who I'm going to work with next. So
really?
It's almost like part of my manifestation. So I'll play that song until I work with that person. Like in my head, everything is possible. That's why I've done the things that I've done, because I live in my bubble of possibility. Like whatever anyone's ever attempted to do, they were never me. So whatever the story is from, I don't care. My stance is, if Miriam could commercially exist in America,
yeah,
and have the top historical musicians be a part of her as a historical South African artist during apartheid, what the hell is my excuse to not break out and find my audience? Because the world is really my oyster. I really love oysters. The world is really my oyster. I've always known from back in Durban when I created my sound in 2006, Future Ghetto Funk. I knew that from even poetry, I was different. I didn't have a poet I looked up to even sound like them in any way. I wrote my way, and I didn't even look at it as poetry. I didn't like poetry in school, but I wrote. And so with the writing, I remember the guy who took my virginity, it was after my first year. I read it to him.
Wait,
he was like, I lost my virginity after first year. First year, I was still a virgin.
Bambi, like fun, Uzamil.
No, being under pressure. I had no pressure. I had no formal. I thought everyone that was having sex in high school was stupid because I watched my brother stash off porn and I'd hear all the terms. And when I'd ask them, what is a cock? And they don't know what that stuff is. And I'd be like, you're so dumb. Why are you engaging in something you don't know the terms to? So fair. I wouldn't do it because everyone was doing it. I'd be like, that's stupid. I didn't smoke because everyone was smoking. I was like, that's stupid. I'm not like y'all. So I didn't do a lot of things that teenagers did. And I didn't have the formal. Because I feel, because my art was seen at my house and I grew up on stage, so I'd go to rehearsals. I started touring South Africa in primary school as a ballroom and Latin dancer. And so I was exposed to more. My mom was intentional. I was exposed to more. So I dreamed, I knew things were possible. Because when I come home and I'm saying these things, my friends don't get, they can't relate. Now I'm this different girl. But it was based on me being exposed. My mom respecting art and me being allowed to express myself. So colorful hair I do every holiday, started with food coloring. So art was seen. So my fight is completely different to someone who had to prove to their parents that art can exist as something that could you could make a living out of outside of being just great and rich and wealthy from. It was seen. I knew I could be great at whatever I did, where I came from. So the artistic privilege that I have is it has shaped my head completely different to someone who has to prove that art is something. So by the time I deal with the world, they're like, oh my God, how are you yourself? I'm like, I wake up and I breathe and I'm myself. What do you guys do? But then I got to understand that I come from a creatively privileged background. So it's not the same for everybody else.
That's so powerful. Are you always like this? Like, are you always this positive all the time?
I'd say so. I feel I'm like, you could throw anything at me, I'll always find a silver lining. Because every experience is to grow, so give me your best shot.
That's beautiful. You mentioned manifestation. Oh my goodness, English, that's a bundle. Did you manifest the Beyonce situation as well?
I did. If you check out an article, New York Times came to SA to do a day in my life. And they took a picture of my vision board. It's on the article. If you check it out, Beyonce was in my 10-year plan back in 2015.
So this just proves that whatever you put your mind to, you can get that.
Yes. Kanya. Wow. I always say that. Like, until they say you're crazy about this dream, Kanya. But also, you don't really share much. Now, I love Tada. Because I don't talk a lot. Like, for instance, when I worked with Beyonce, I didn't even sign the thing for a whole year of working with her on the project because I was a songwriter in the project.
Yeah.
I was quiet. I wasn't talking to nobody. And by the time I signed the NDA a month before it came out, I'd been quiet the whole time because it was about me living mine. You're going to see me having lived mine. It was my moment. So it's like one of those things where when they say, oh, a lot of South Africans don't know what you're doing. And I'm like, if you seek, you'll find, because everything is on the internet. But also, I'm living my ultimate dreams, and it's a privilege for you to watch me live them.
Now, do you think that there's, you know, a lot of people say, oh, no, don't say out loud your plans, what mm-hmm. you have going on before it happens? Do you also like believe in that?
I know that for real, because when I was younger, like, my name is Moonchild, I'm done and younger. My mom used to see stuff before it happened.
Wow.
So because she used to see stuff, I paid attention when I was a kid that everything I wanted, if I say I want it and I dream it, if I say to someone that I want it and I dream it, I'm not going to have it. So I learned it at a young age, mainly because of my mom would dream things that would happen.
Mm.
So I paid attention to that. Then I just learned to keep quiet. And then I'd do, like, test. Let me prove it. Once I paid attention, I was like, let me prove it. Then I'd say something I want to someone. Then if I dream it, I'm not going to have it.
Mm.
So I learned that early. Then when she died, I'd dream and see. And stuff that would happen, but it started with, like, death. Crazy, I never go into this part. Mm. But, for instance, I know that The Secret came out in 2008. Why? Because that's the year I was pregnant. And I'd run away from home. And I had this book I would write from the back. I'd write, by the end of the day, I'm going to eat custard slice and a milk tart. I'm pregnant. I don't have money. But I'd have it by the end of the day. And Secret is not out yet. I mean, I'm keeping it to myself. I mean, I've learned this as a kid already. So I'm keeping it to myself. I don't know the word manifestation, none of that. But I'm just writing, by the end of the day, I'm going to have this. Then I'm like, let me write more. And I'd have it. Then I was like, when I look through this book, man, I'm like, what would happen if I wrote bigger? Then I wrote bigger. Then I remember The Secret came out that year, and everyone was coming to me like, oh my God, did you see this book? And I'm like, I've been doing this thing.
Wow.
And then I'm like, I've been doing it, look. And it didn't come from any, it came, I think that's probably the spiritual grounding that I had from my mom, experiencing mm. my mom in real time. For me to pay attention to things like that as a kid. So even when I'd see stuff, if I tell my friends, they'd be like, I'm lying. And I'm like, I'm not lying. I saw it alone. They haven't seen it yet. I didn't know at the time. So my mom would be like, don't share your dreams with the people. That time I'm not even thinking it's a dream. I saw it happen.
Yeah.
But it hadn't happened yet, so now they're thinking I'm a liar. But I'm like, now I've got, it's this thing, and then on top of that, now I've also exposed to more outside with regards to, like, dreaming and all these things. So I'm definitely, I'm like an outcast now, because there's no understanding. So at this point, like, even as an adult, it's that thing, like, it didn't start today.
Wow, man, hearing you speak is amazing, because you. There's something that you're clarifying here, and I want to ask you, do you think, like, success is tied to, like, your spiritual well-being? Let me just kind of make it make sense. I want to be successful. Everyone wants to be successful, right? And we have all these motivational speakers speaking, write it down, which you just confirmed, write it down, manifestation, it does really happen. It's kind of like the recipe to success is in front of us, but we don't really take it seriously. And this is the thing that boggles my mind all the time. Everyone that I've sat down with, they keep saying the same thing, and you are here verifying the same thing. So why is it broke?
because the thing about it is, it's. I feel like for me, I see it. I don't even name it a dream. They ask you what's your wildest dream. I don't sleep for my dreams to come to life. I write them down and I work at what my purpose is, and they happen. Because when I write down, I don't write how I'm going to meet. I'm going to take a train or a flight or where we're going to meet. None of that. I just know it's going to happen. I see it happen. I feel it. The same way when I write the music, I see the crowd's response and it guides my writing before the song even exists. So my intuition plays a huge part. There's the element of my physical work that I do, and then there's an element of faith, belief, that is just immense beyond what you can physically do. You know what I mean? Where 24 hours is not enough, but physically you just wait. You know it's going to happen. Because everything that you do is towards this point. So how you get there, no one knows, no one cares. It's going to happen. And so there's this, you just need to be in, you have to be in it. It's one thing, like, you can know what to do, but to do it is a different chat. You have to be in it while you're hungry right now. You have to, it's the same as, like, you smell something and you're automatically full. There's also a control that you have in your head. Like, you control, like, for instance, if I walk into fire here, I've already told myself it's freezing. So when I step on it, I can't engage with you. I've told myself it's freezing, and I get into that space and I tap in. And it's freezing to me, and I'm going to do the duration. When I get out, if I'm burnt, I'm burnt, but it was super cold. When I do an ice bath, I say it's so warm, and I'll stay in there. So I switch my mind. I just switch my mind. I also love psychology. So I just switch my mind into what I need to tap into physically in this physical form. I live in my bubble where I see what it is that I need to achieve now, what my goal is, and how what's going to happen. The same way I write music. In fact, it was a director of one of my reality shows that was like, so you even manifest in the music? Because I was like, she was like, a playlist. I was like, I don't have a playlist. But I've got the songs that I listen to over and over until I work with that person. Then they were like, you're literally manifesting even within that. I didn't even call it that. There's just ways I move in. Like, that I don't, some things don't have names. I bump into names. That's when I know, like, the things that keep instilling and reminding me that this is my purpose is the things I've bumped into. Like, for instance, just a Scorpio moon. Moonchild for me was just like Mdana Nyanga. Direct translation. But then when you go into that, it's blue. The emoji for blue, it's blue. When someone Googles me or they do the zodiac things and whatever, I'm the exact emoji, but it had nothing to do with that. Yeah. So there's a lot of things I walk into, like manifestation. I didn't know it. I didn't name it that until The Secret came out and people named it that. There's actions that I just do where they just keep instilling that. I'm literally living my purpose.
Wow. That's so beautiful. You know, you mentioned something about your name, Moonchild. You know, I've had scribbles in my head. I'd say, how did she come up with that name? Moonchild. And I tried to make sense for myself.
I'm curious
so
right now.
I want to give you my sense how you came up with that name and tell me if it makes sense. And just be honest.
Yeah.
Right, Moonchild. Let's dissect it. You look at the moon, right? It's something that shines at night, right? And we all know that the darkness comes with terrifying things. There's nothing beautiful that happens in the dark, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's this moon shining the light in the darkness, right? So for me, it's like you are shining the light in the darkness, showing possibilities, showing way where there's no way that this can be done. And for me, it verifies, listening to you speak now, you're saying you manifest, you believe that it's possible. I refuse to fail. It's going to happen. I will succeed. You are really shining the light. So that sounds like a moon child. So a moon gave birth to this child to shine the light in the darkness. That's crazy thoughts that I just had in my head.
Can I tell you, like, how it happened was, it was just, I was just going through names during the poetry stages. And then I was like, I could see how I was touching people and all that jazz. And I was like, Mdana Nyanga, like, my mom had the gift. So, Moonchild, direct translation.
Oh, okay.
And then so, like, it was literally as simple as that. The beginning of it, it was as simple as that. Literally just us directly translating where I come from.
Oh,
and then that's how I was like, everything else I've gotten to meet that makes sense to my existence and who I am. Because, like, I'll tell you, there's a lot of stars, some go missing, but there's only one moon. Do you know? But then also, even with what you're saying, shining light in the dark. Even when I'm shining overseas, it's dark in South Africa. It's dark at home. But even though I still can be the light, there's a lot of stars, but there's only one moon.
Yep.
And stars aren't always up there.
Yeah.
In the sky.
And we all see the moon. You can be anywhere in the world. You still see
it. You see the one moon.
So that's why you're global.
It was meant to be. Because in Durban, when I created my sound, that's when I realized, that's when I came. I was just like, idiots rolling numbers. Because now, even there, I was alone. Because now there was no competition. There was nothing original for me. I was like, I need more. So I took my 500 rands, came to Joburg, suitcase, sewing machine, and here we are.
Sure. From 500.
Because I knew. I said my plan was, I'm going to go to Joburg. Excuse me. After five big paint billboards, I'm going to move to London. From London, I'm going to New York, then Japan.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's pretty much like I live in London. Because now I'm pop in London. I've shaken the pop spaces from the pop makers. I'm like an American that comes to South Africa to do Kwaito music and kills South Africans doing Kwaito music in the UK.
Well, is the check a bit better that side?
A bit.
Hey.
I'm on holiday at home.
And as Munchild Pelam, I'm on holiday when I'm stuck home. Here. Now I'm here.
No one is stuck.
Yeah.
No one is.
Wow.
I mean, I'm on holiday when I'm home. I don't chase checks. Not that I don't need the money, but I don't chase the checks. There's a respect that comes with the gigs. Here, the gigs I'll do is passion for my fans. It's not money driven anymore. At this point, I'm at the point where I have to host. Because it's not the same. Due diligence over there is crazy. Like, even things like before you do a live show, you're writing down the playlist because
okay.
There's royalties from live performances. Singing someone's song, they get their royalties for me singing their song. Here you can sing anyone's song and you get your check. Your performance royalties, no one even talks about that contract because the venues don't want to pay for artist royalties. Things like that. There's none of that there, but it's common there. There's always the contract with all the riders, hospitality rider, your technical rider, sound check, and your playlist every show. And everyone, you get paid for doing the lives alone. Before radio, before you sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think it would take for, because it's also important that our industry as South Africa hears this, you know, like, but what do you think it would take for us to upgrade our standards to, you know, a broad standard where even our artists are thriving here at home?
Even our artists are dreaming bigger. Then, because the thing about it, I feel like a lot of the times the managers are capitalizing on kids who want to move their parents from a brick house, from a shack to a brick house, and they don't fuel them to dream bigger because there's more. Before you even get to the world, just the diaspora, there's more. But you need to know where you want to go because when you know where you want to go, you're human, you will think of what's next. But when you know your power, you will definitely go for what's next because the excitement is in you not knowing, but knowing where you're going. So, like the fear of leaving a manager, because there's a lot of emotional manipulation where artists don't even know how to ask how much it was because the managers make them feel like, also, you don't trust me. And the thing about it is you should be open. You shouldn't be doing that. But the artists are not being taught about wanting more, doing more. Like, for instance, collaboration has been my biggest language. That's what got me into tapping into other territories. I knew that it would be that. I knew that I wouldn't sign at home because my artistry would be limited. Even when I was struggling, I became a Savage Independent because when you got Gorillaz, Diplo, and Beyonce, I was still an independent artist. So to a point where now I sign per album. I license to the highest bidder per album. And I got that privilege from having known my power and then going for everything that I knew was possible and actually achieving it. There's a time where I did the Summer Awards nomination announcement, whatever, and I was performing. And then this lady from this label, she gets someone to get me to the offices. I walk past the office. I go to the office, and I see the pictures of the international acts, and I said, so here's the thing. I've been going past your billboard, the highway, and I only see one billboard of your artist. I haven't heard nothing. I see nothing else. Da, 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 da. And what do you think you can do for me that you're not doing for the roster you already have? They're like, da, 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 da. Okay, so here's the thing. I know what I want. I want collaborations with all your artists from international that are signed to this label. She's like, oh, it's as impossible as wanting to work with Beyonce. I said, I stood up and I said, can I get a lighter, please? I got a lighter and I went to her ear and I said, I'm already working with Beyonce, so you have nothing for me. Then I said, I'm done with this meeting. And I was taking back my power for everyone that rejected me in that goodness. Moment. And I was already working with what she said was impossible.
You just screwed her. Sorry.
She apparently got fired 2 weeks later.
So you literally exposed. Because I said to her, like,
even now, you're being emotional and I'm the artist. I can already tell you that I can see in a year's time when things are not going my way and you're not doing what you promised, you're going to be the emotional one and we're going to have a battle and I don't do drama. So, no.
You expose her incompetence in a way.
Yeah, but I also could see the future if I ever had to work with her just based on her actions in that moment. And I said, you're not the one.
Ooh.
And that's later. went to high. Yeah, I didn't say to the meet. I said, I'm already working.
You're
a
badass.
And I went to smoke my cigarette. How was that?
Nah, you're a badass. Now tell me, I need to ask. I told you my mind is just racing. I need to ask. You, dude, you are big, right? So I want to understand, when you worked with Beyonce, right? Did you see a shift after working with her that in the industry? Do you think the industry started seeing you differently after working with Beyonce, or even how you saw yourself?
Let me tell you something. I have no idea what the industry thought. I know Black Coffee was just like, this is huge.
Yeah.
And there's people who tweeted, whatever. But there's a lot of South African people that were like, is this, they would say AI today. Mm-hmm. Is this green screen? And I was like, yes. I hope you dream, you grow up to dream bigger, to know that everything is possible.
Wow.
At this one, I don't know who I screwed for this one, according to South Africa.
Now, I mean, But
with regards to the world, especially with the song where on tour, people come on stage to shake booty with me.
Yeah.
So everybody, black, white, da 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 da. So for instance, in the UK, I've got like, there's an audience for the grime, right? And when they hear me on grime music, they don't connect me to the pop girl, where then this audience is super white, the stadium filled with such a majority white people who are just feeling liberated, shaking ass, and just like happiness. Do you know, when you go to Russia and the stadium, Scandinavian territories, period, and the whites are oppressed and they look at you, this black girl who comes from a place where there was apartheid, and they look at you as freedom. You bring them joy, you bring them hope, you bring them freedom in a stadium filled with oppressed white people. So it's like, you need to go to the world. It's so much bigger, and there's a market for everyone.
Mm. Oh, man.
And you know, these days, it's not even hard to find your territory. Insight is not just for flexing numbers. Insight is literally for your insight. This is something before your Instagrams were there. When I took conferences overseas, like, I know I've worked a lot with Pandora Music, and there was this whole trick of like, when you drop a single, drop a B-side single, drop two singles, because the psychology of the audience is they'll replay that song over and over again, and then they get bored after they overdid it. But when you have a B-side, the song that didn't make number one, it was just number two, then you've got that sort of something to fall back on. Like little things like that. Like people don't even get those little educations, but you get them when you get outside into the conferences. It's just crazy. It's wild, but it's big. The world is so huge. Find your market. Use insights to educate yourself. When I started doing touring, I remember being in Times Square. I had 100 rands for the whole week. And my hunger was not in my stomach. It was planting my seeds.
Cool.
And I was the only one who'd get booked. It was IMEXA, sponsored by DTI. I was the only one who get booked by all five festivals. Primavera, Midem in Cannes, the New York one. I've played it again. I forgot it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was five different ones. I would choose like different people that fit in, and I fit in everything. And so I was known as the hardworking one. I became like the director ended up calling me, like I'd call her mommy. I was like a kid, but it wasn't from ass picking. It was because I was that artist that just delivered. And so when I get there, when I land, I put my suitcases and I go find a venue and I'll do my own show before the show of the festival. And they'd come to support to a point where in Texas as well, before I got to do main act in South by Southwest, for 4 years, I was hosting at Moonfire, this other club. And people thought it was mine because it would be a line. Now they knew. So I was just, I've always been that girl. I overachieve. Like when it comes to my dream, there's no ego. I overachieve. And it's so crazy. Even with a lot of the collaborations, even till today, I'll DM someone. And how it's happened is 2 years later, when we finally work, when they tag me, they realize I asked them 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So my dreams have no ego. I will still go there. Da-da-da-da. You tell me I'm big. I'm just living my dreams.
Whoa, that's powerful. I think what I take away from that is, my dreams have no ego.
Yeah.
Ah, that's so beautiful. Now, I've listened to your music, man. I love it. And there's one thing that I've picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Your music is borderless. You are very versatile.
Yes.
You have your sound, which here at home, kind of celebrated for Abo Okepara and my all time favorite. Abafana Abasejozi no more. Hey, banamanga banamali for sure. Yeah. Man, that's the one, you know. And then you have this kind of rock thing going on, like hip hoppy, like when you go to when you go to the album Full Moon, like it's just, you're very versatile.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why I'm saying it's borderless.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanna understand that. Is that you being versatile? Is that kind of like your strategy for like longevity and not be boxed in?
It's not a strategy for longevity.
Yeah.
It's me knowing that my storytelling has no limits because I'm a storyteller. That's why even my dance music is still a story. I paint pictures. So the life, as long as life is happening, I've got a story to tell, and it's not limited by genre. Basically, that's the thing. And I feel like that muscle was strengthened in the time when I ran away. When I just wanted the mic, I didn't care what genre was being played. I'd freestyle on the spot. That's why I ended up being like in the jazz spaces as well, opening for Mambusi Mhlongo, working with Madala Kunene. I've always been that kid who's just been, I can do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I just want the mic. I'll figure it out as we go. So that muscle was exercised back in the times when I was homeless. And now it's my magic in studio. I'm very fast. I'm limitless. If whatever it gives, the beat gives me all, because I write to nothing. I can write a song right now to no metronome and the whole structure. That's how limitless I am. Then I'll structure it to the genre. What am I doing? I don't listen to that genre or anyone that is close to that genre or whoever that producer's worked with, because it also protects my take on everything. And I've always got my own take, which is why I feel like my existence is also to remind the child that is told they're black sheep and they're associated with negativity. No, the black sheep is the one that sees the world different to be able to change it. And so it's not a negative thing. Hone it and use that magic. It's magic, because now I'm not even talking from a theory point of view. I am it. I'm doing it. It's not an idea of what is possible. I am living possibilities.
Wow. But you would agree with me that as an artist, it's good to diversify, because I feel like I look at the entertainment industry, I look at artists from where I'm seated, right? And I can count those who I feel like they have a good livelihood, they've built success, they've built wealth. And then you can also see those that, okay, it's like they're hitting a brick wall, they can't go to the next level. They stuck in the same sound, you know.
That safety and fear, where artists get to a point where it's worked, and then they fear change, because it's there's so many things attached to change, which is like you might lose an audience, but also you might gain an audience, a new one, you know. Because I feel like, because my music is storytelling, it grows with whatever my experiences are. And so you're not stuck in a moment with me. You can find any other moment. Because when you ask me, when people ask me, like, what genre do you do? Future ghetto funk. What is that? What do you listen to? I make hits at this point. Because it depends. What do you listen to? Because I dabble in everything. I have fun. Because I'm a creator. I'm not in a box. What is a box? Because I feel like if you call yourself an artist and you know you've got the gift, you've got the license to create a world. And when you don't utilize it because of fear, that's when you might as well just forfeit it, because there's no point. Because when you're an artist, artist and fear don't go hand in hand.
Can't mix.
No. You have fear when it's attached to excitement. Those are cousins. But you can't fear growth, and you can't fear, because then now your audience, first of all, you need to remember, your audience didn't have you before they started loving you. And therefore, you're the one who has the power to teach them. So you can do the safe thing, but you could definitely do the long-term thing, which is fearlessness in creation. I'm a creator. and no one holds me. I know spaces. For instance, the only thing I'll do, I'll check the numbers, which songs are what, and then I'll alter the set for those ones that I know they love singing along to in that territory, because I'm in different territories. There's a set I can never do in South Africa for that unless I do a special show here, which I have to host. I'm going to be doing one actually this year.
Wow.
Where I take one of my international shows and I do it here. That's going to be for my original audience in South Africa. When I was on, because I became queen of alternative music, where I'd be the only black, the only girl on main stage in the alternative festivals in South Africa. When I wanted more from that, I was like, the money doesn't match. But that was great because the shows in alternative are like an hour, which was exercising the muscle for international at that time. Once I clocked in the money, I was like, now I'm doing international while doing alternative, and black South Africa doesn't know me. Alternative blacks don't know me. And whites know me, but blacks in South Africa don't know me. And now my thing is rising overseas. And so I was like, okay, strategy. I wrote this in 2016. My next. I wrote, I'm going to get three hits through collaboration in South Africa commercial. Then I wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. And I got those three hits 2017. I wrote 2016, February to August. Then I got to tick all those three in 2017, where it was like, now I'm bringing them to my world. Then whoever stays, because I've never abandoned any world. I've strategized territories for whoever belongs to my world to then join me in, you know what I mean? So that worked out, and every other hit was a bonus. Then now, for instance, now Full Moon, because then Phases came out, Nudes came out during lockdown, because in lockdown I signed my biggest deal yet. And when I was doing interviews during lockdown, people would be like, oh my God, how is this? I was like, guys, it was different for me. My world fully started. I hired new staff because I was doing all the international festivals in studios in South Africa. So I was still doing the shows. I still paid for the shows, but we were doing them now virtually. And so I had to hire new staff for the virtual team, So my training, you know, I was making music. I was recording. I was performing. I was doing all that stuff. That's when Nudes came out. Rabubi, my label, bought Rabubi because 5-year master, every 5 years I sell them to someone else.
Okay.
So with the label I signed to, I stayed 1 year. Because the person who signed me there, he understood my vision and the rest of the, and then he got taken by a big situation. So the people that were left there, they didn't know what to do with me. And I was like, look, I know what to do with me. Let's separate amicably, you know, because for me, being signed wasn't safety. It was just someone to assist me in chasing my dream. And after a year, then I started pushing alone for a long time.
Which route do you think is best? Signing or pushing by yourself? Like, let's advise these upcoming artists.
I feel like for as long as you treat yourself as an independent and you don't have the power to get your name out there, use a label to get your name out there, but don't depend on the label.
Isn't that debt though?
No, not if you deliver. Because if you're given, because the thing is, if you're given like a 4 milli, and you have to produce 4 albums, live in studio and produce. Leave the hype. The hype is going to be because of your product. So do what needs to be done. So use what you need for what you don't have in the moment.
Mm.
So, for instance, you know a label will probably like want 5 years because 3 years putting you in the market, 2 years to make the money back.
Yeah.
Push enough. If you've got the juice, you have to have the juice, whether you sign or not. You have to have the juice. So when you know this is your purpose, stop counting time. There's no expiry date to you succeeding. Just keep going. Know every moment is a privilege. And know every moment is going to change your life. Whether you see that change with one audience joining or whether you don't see the change, trust me, it all comes together ultimately. Just focus on that thing. Should you sign, don't put all your eggs in one basket, but the label will push more when you do a 360. But you have to deliver for you because there's a school of fish. You have to swim to become the top fish in any space. Independently, you have to swim to be heard. In the label, with the support, you have to swim to shine for them to be motivated to keep pushing you.
Because there's other people.
Yes. With the manager, you have to keep pushing for them to be motivated to feel that keep pushing you. So it starts with you. I'd say label helps with getting you out there when you're not out there and you just want to do this thing. It helps you get out there. But don't just sign. Never sign with hunger, because you'll regret it.
That's where they get them. From where I'm seated.
So sign with a mission.
Yeah.
Sign with a mission. So, for instance, and everyone's got different roots, you know. Me, I had to be selfish independent because I was different. And a lot of people didn't take the risk, but I believed in my magic, and I still do, and I keep going. Mm. Others, label didn't work out, and they push. Others feel like independence in the label. They just know I call for the video budget, but I'm pushing like this. Because very ultimately, you do want to have your own booking agent outside of the label. Mm. Or someone else who's handling a different account. You do want different people handling your account. You don't want one person. Because fear, yet again, you'll feel safer having everything with one. But rather, when one falls, this one is running, you can do this. But the one thing that's great about being an independent is, for as long as I've lost an employee, I've always been able to tap back into that muscle when I used to do everything alone. Mm-hmm. While looking for someone else. Mm-hmm. So we've got different routes, man. We've got different routes. You just need to know. When you know, whatever space you're in, you're going to shine. You need to know this is your purpose. This is what you were born to do.
Ah, that's said so beautifully.
Because then money is attracted by authenticity anyway. When you're doing your ultimate, you give it your best shot. You never get exhausted being yourself. Rather be rejected for who you are than who you're trying to be, because everyone's taken. So however long it takes, as I always go back to, there's no expiry date to your dreams. Just keep going. Just look down and go. Look down and go. See a celebration, think next. Keep going. Keep going. Never stop with everything that everyone celebrates you for. Because it goes back to that thing of, like, once you start taking in the hype and it affects you in a way that affects the art that was being celebrated, then you've already died from your diary.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, your art becomes a channel from whatever darkness you call it. It has nothing to do with coming from a rich home because you've got your own demons. Coming from a poor home, you've got your own demons. Everyone's got purpose.
Yeah.
excuse me, wherever you come from. And when you've got that, not dying from your diary is basically whatever your channel was, and it brings light to people and they celebrate you, and you celebrate you with them. You forget to heal so that you grow within your art, because you can't be the traumatized person forever in your art. There's so many different forms, because if you're healing as a person, the art that you give also heals as the process that you're going through. For instance, Adele was miserable. People were shading that she fell in love now, then she's got love songs now. But it's a process, a personal process, because her music was her life, is her life. So just don't attach fear with art. Don't attach fear with art.
Wow. Now, but tell me, right? I know.
It's like if you look at my ass, not my head.
I know we spoke about it a lot now, but let's bring it back to, like, the music business now, right? What are some of the things that you personally had to do or put in place, or decisions that you had to make to make sure that your art, your work, your music is actually making you money, building wealth, besides just the fame? And I'll tell you why I'm asking this. Because I see a lot of artists, you know, it's like, we just want to get famous, and then neglect the business element of it.
Dexter.
Yeah. And then you hear all these sad stories that come out after a couple of years that, oh, someone died and they broke. They don't have money for funeral, or besides even funeral. They're just coming out, they need help. But we know this person was popping for years. So what are the things that you put in place just to make sure that, you know, you are set?
I think my business skills come from being cheated. Like being stolen from. So, like, for instance, I remember there was a big song in house back then. I hadn't even moved to Joburg. And it was my friends. They ended up signing to Ultra Records. And Shimza had that song in his first album. And I would be tagged. Black Coffee was playing it everywhere overseas. And I wasn't in the dance music space. I was always an alternative girl. I used to make, like, clippies and coke, pubs, tattoos, live bands, alt stuff. And so I don't know how big that song was, Uvelani. They got signed because of that song. But I get tagged, but I don't know commercial stuff. Then I come here. Then I work at a surf store, first 3 months. And then they play the song. And I'm like, that's my song. They're like, you wouldn't work here if you knew, if this was your song. The song is huge.
Ooh.
I was like, what do you mean? They're like, it's not your song. Bang, Tigiza.
Yeah, because they know how big it is.
Yeah, I have no clue. I'm not in those spaces. So then I remember those guys gave me 1,000 rands.
Mm.
After I was like, what's happening? Like, I hear this song is big, apparently. Louis Vega did an EP remix of that song.
Louis Vega.
I had to Google who Louis Vega was. I mean, I think about dance music.
Yeah.
I had to go Google. So there's this guy who used to just tag me on Instagram. He was a very deep, big, deep house guy.
Mm.
He just tagged me on Facebook. I'd be like, oh, there is guy on Google. It was crazy. But I got 1,000 rands from that song and I said never again. And then when I got here, I remember my first management. They used to steal my money. So for instance, from when I would make 500 rands a young gig, okay, in Gaibona. Then I made my first 5,000. And then I was like, why am I getting paid 1,000? They said, you paid for the dinner on the label's dinner where you were eating. I was like, I wouldn't eat 5,000. So everyone, all your artists were paid for by me. It's like, okay. I was like, okay, cool. So we had this contract. I never signed it. But I let the year pass, but it was towards the end. Actually, the contract had expired. And I could see that they were doing wild shit now.
Mm.
And I was like, let me keep quiet. Then I let it go because there was a sliding scale the 6 months after I terminated the contract.
Yeah.
So I let the sliding scale slide. I kept quiet. They kept working. And they were doing these crazy things, but I already was planning my next move. Now I'm interviewing other managers. But I'm not saying anything here. And the wife found it weird because she's like, Moonchild talks.
Mm.
And she's scaring me now that she's not talking. And so that guy was egotistical. He even raped me, that manager. Raped me and said I was a slut.
Wait.
No, don't worry. These people fueled me. That's why my purpose is body positivity ownership.
We cannot condole that now.
No, it's not okay. But karma's got him. I've learned the art of letting go. From when they stole 500 rands to 5,000 to my first 100K to my millions, I let it go. I woke up from ICU and the last management, they emptied out my account and opened a sandwich bar. And I woke up to zeros in my South African bank account, but fortunately...
Just 1 second, because now you just touched something. Can we call out this person? Because we cannot have this kind of nonsense.
No, it's not worth it. I don't need it.
We have 3 cameras here. I am here. Can we call out this person? Because
it's not worth it. You know who you are. It's not worth it. I don't even bump into them. Right now they tweet and like their own tweets.
Okay.
I let go of that. I made music. And then when I woke up from ICU, now I had to learn, I had to have like 8 blood transfusions. Management gone. My global manager was there, Lauren, the one you spoke to. She was there. And she wasn't trusting this team at some point. But they'd always pull out the black card. And she's just like, nah, something's off. But it took me going to ICU for it to be confirmed something was off. They stole all the money, opened the sandwich bar, and guess what? Ta-da! The universe. Lockdown. Now they can't maintain it. There's no lockdown, shutdown.
Yeah.
So I remember I learned to walk because I took gigs that December. When I woke up, because I remember November, I was still learning to walk. I was like, I'm eating. I need my body back. And then, so when I woke up, I signed my next deal. And I signed my deal when I couldn't, when I was still healing my other liver. And I just could walk. Went to sign another deal after hearing about this. So, I mean, it took my international money to save me. This one, I had no medical aid at the time.
Oh.
That's when I got medical aid on something like this. It's expensive. So it took that money because I would have died if I didn't have that money. Literally. So I woke up again. I was in ICU for a week.
Mm.
Woke up again. Did it again. Because you know what? Give me your best shot. I am the money. I am
exactly.
The magic. I am the artist.
Exactly.
I'm the power. So... last thing I always say to the ones that have stolen is like, could have waited a little longer, we would have made more.
But right?
Yes, this was your time. So, I let go. The art of letting go is something I learned early.
So now there's something powerful that you just mentioned that I'm picking up. You're saying that, yes, you've been crooked. Monies were stolen from you. But there's something you just said, like your money overseas, you know, that's what saved you. And for me, it's like kind of light bulb that you have your things in order.
What a great team.
Yeah. Is that what a lot of artists lack? Because,
yes.
I mean, to pull out 500 bands and like, you can only count
a number. It took me half a million to wake up.
Yeah, you can only count a number of artists that can do that, that can have access to that at that moment. So that's not child's play. You know?
So,
it's not. Look at the economy that we're in. Look at the standard of the industry right now. And you tell me that how many people do you know, probably in your contact list on your WhatsApp,
that in the art space.
You understand?
Oh, yes, I do. I know.
Let's talk about the art space.
Just based on just art.
To be like,
your art being able to save your life.
My life is on the line. Okay. I need 500K now.
I know in South Africa.
Yeah.
I know one that's not going to do the sympathy card. Because even people didn't know I was sick. I was quiet. I don't do the sympathy thing. If you screw me over, you're not going to see it on social media. I deal with you like this.
So do you think that's what a lot of artists lack? Like proper organizing their stuff.
I think because I ran away from home, I don't have time for sympathy tactics. Because whenever I was faced with something, I had to find a solution. There was no home I was going to run back to. PE, I was going to be the best church outfit making fashion designer where I come from. I wasn't going for that. I knew I belonged to the world. So I wasn't going to go back. When I ran away from Durban, because I did varsity there, I ran away from my uncle and aunt's house. Went to Joburg.
Why do you use the word run away?
Because I ran away. My uncle sexually essayed me. And I had a conversation in the mirror. I looked in the mirror and I said, I was scared. And I was like, but I'm silly. I'm not trying to be funny. But this is how I talk to myself. How I talk.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I'm too cute for prison. So I can't kill him. But I'm not staying here because I'm scared of him. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be so great. I'm going to name and shame him. Then I left. I figured everything as I was outside. Then when I got to name and shame him in the biggest one, which was New York Times in 2015, I was already writing about sex. From when I lost my virginity, my first popular poem was a sexual one.
Yeah.
So now getting into the point of... So sexual speaking in general, I was always open. But coming to the purpose and what do I stand for? When I did name and shame him in 2015, and I felt nothing. And in that moment, I had a light bulb moment. Oh, shit. My being liberated is one thing, but my purpose of my liberation is another. And my purpose is to remind people that their voices matter. They own their bodies. They celebrate them. If they're not happy about them, they change them. But own who you are. Because it's just little things like you carrying your own condoms is you owning who you are. Someone calling you, carry condoms like lip gloss, protecting yourself, however you move. But protecting yourself is your responsibility. And whatever you're wearing, it's no excuse for anyone to take. And so with that stance, so many messages were coming in without me having announced the stance, because then I was sexually liberated. I would talk about it. I went from there to talking about infecting people with AIDS because I hated the stance women took in poetry where it's like, I got violated. I was like, take me, I'm yours. Violate me, I don't have a choice. And it was that thing. So I always shook. In my take, I always shook the room. And so I was like, I don't know this girl. Where I come from, my mom was part of syndicates. My dad, it's called Tequila where I come from. I know the Scorpions from my grandmother's house. Like, I come from hustlers. Even the women are like here. So I didn't know that girl I was singing poetry. So that was another moment of me knowing, I'm missing without even looking what's missing in the market. I was just like, but everybody's the same. What the hell? Like, not every woman takes violation like that. Others get fueled by it. Others make change.
I was about to say that.
Others, yes. So after the feeling nothing, the 2015 one, that's when the light bulb on some, like, this is my purpose. Liberation. Not just sex on its own, but just in general. Without sitting down and drafting, but it was just moments, naturally, progressively, with time. And, it still matched my animated world that I paint in music. And I ran and I made a success because my options were to win, win, or win. I wasn't going to be getting an award at church for being the best dressmaker. That was not my purpose.
No offense to the church, though.
No offense to church. I'm just saying where I come from, I'd be the girl. But oh no, yapana kusaneli, she'll make you the best one, so shine. That's what that would be my thing. Or be a dress. No. I was already exposed to beyond PE anyway. And my mom, when I went to varsity, she was like, you're not studying varsity here. They're going to limit you. Whatever you choose to do, go.
You know how you see the world, how you carry yourself, how you take difficult situations and you turn them to superpowers. It's like right now, you just dropped two or three bombs on me, like just like that, back to back. You know, and I'm like, whoa, you know, I want to react to this. Mm-hmm. And the way you just like, no, let karma deal with him. Let, I have my own. It's so subtle. And it's like, how do you do that? Where do you get that? Where does that come from for you to be just that chilled and bold about it? Because I can tell you right now, I don't know anyone that from the people that I know that can handle it like you are.
I don't know.
Do you believe in God?
I feel like it's, yeah, I believe in God. I believe in the universe. And I believe in my mom's guidance.
Hmm.
So, for instance, but I write and I pray. Like, for instance, like with prayer phases, that people will think I'm joking. Like, we were doing a TV show, like maybe like 3 weeks ago, we were shooting. Mm. So, like, Moonchild, you pray. I was like, let's go. I'm like, make me shine again. And then they're laughing and they're like, oh, that's so. I'm like, no, Ngalagata is the title of a Kwaito song. It's Kelege.
Yeah.
So he's staring. But I mean, I'm Kuluma now. When you call me informal, Kuluma no babuak. Is that your baba when you're listening? No.
Mm-mm.
You talk to your father. Mm-hmm. So if he's your father, why you fear him? He knows his children, right? So you speak to him in the language he knows the child speaks. Because when I speak to my father, I don't go wear a uniform or I change. I just speak to my father. I ask for what I ask for. So he's your dad. Like, chill. He knows the kids is bred. He knows his kids. Then the universe, how I speak, like, for instance, I'm like, try lift this arm, this one. Exactly. So things like, I don't use the word try in my vocabulary.
Mm.
Because if I treat my life like an arm, it's not an attempt. The thought is the attempt, which is trying. But when I just say try, you just do it. So I treat my arm like my life like an arm. I do or I don't.
Get you.
I don't even use it in my vocabulary. Because how I speak, basically I treat the universe like an ear that's always listening to me. So there's this big ear. So you write to the universe. You go on your knees for God and you slaughter for your ancestors. So depending on whatever you believe in, the first belief is you.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing there's something beyond you. And there's a level of faith that you can't even tell nobody. It's in you. You just believe.
That's beautiful. Now, I watched this episode you did with the PNC guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I laughed because there's where you said that you've been bullied before.
Mm-hmm.
And me having an interaction with you is like, who would dare bully you, man? Like,
yeah.
Do you understand? So when you said that you've been bullied before, I listened to what you said and how you turned it around. And I think I just said it again now, that how you turned this situation around to a superpower. I don't know how to even call it a superpower or what. I don't know how you do it. But even when you were bullied, I think it was in your early days, you also found a way to turn that around. So now for me, it's like, what advice would you give to young kids that are going through that? Because I know that most of the people that bully people is because they see something in you or something that they wish they could have, or then they don't and they want to dim that light down. So what would be, because I know there's a lot of kids that look up to you, that want to be in your position, and I'm sure they are being bullied.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What would you say to that?
I would say the same way I've said to my kids when they've been bullied for having an ass-shaking mom.
Yeah.
It's definitely always someone seeing something special in you and they want to dim your light.
Yeah.
But I always say to them, shine in your books so you can leave. Shine, succeed, and leave. Report, because my kids speak. So yeah. I'll go shut down the school.
Yeah.
But it's the environment I've created where everyone is vocal in my house. Because I've got three girls. The twins are 12 and then our girls. So it's like, report to someone. Report to the teacher first. If they do nothing, report to your parents. Or in fact, simultaneously, report. Report. Don't keep it a secret because it's not going to end. And on top of that, succeed. Take it out in your books. Take it out in your books so you can get the fuck out.
You think success is the best revenge?
Always. That's why with me, they can't even do anything with me because I like. There's a time where in the industry, people assumed because of I'm owning my body that they could get sex from me. I've never had to sleep for a song. I've always believed in my magic. And me owning my body doesn't mean it's our body. And so that's the one thing people got twisted with. My image, how they chose to see me, how they choose to see me, yeah. My liberation, how they choose to hear me, and what it makes them decide I am, or like of who I am.
Yeah.
And so they always get disappointed when they realize I'm not the girl.
Is this?
And so there's a time where you just like, the collabs were tricky. And I was like, I've got my international audience. These people are used to being begged because they just want to fuck. I ain't doing that shit. Fortunately, you just met me in this space. I've got a space I've created. That's why you see me here, you see me there. You don't see me and you assume I've probably fallen off because I'm not working with you. I'm working with the world. You visit overseas, I visit home. We're not the same. So if you're not here for my magic, you're not going to hit it. We could make a hit though.
That's
And then after that, you just keep killing it. They don't know how. Then you come back, and then now everyone is like embracing because now they've let go of their ego because they can't stop you because you didn't sleep with them. Believe in your magic. There's no expiry date to your dreams. Just believe in your magic and keep going. Because they will always offer you this. As long as you've got a vagina, you will always be offered. Through passive aggression. Like there was this girl at Glastonbury last year. She has an album, but now the guy wants to date her and she can't get the album out. She's been working on for 2 years.
Oh man.
She's like, what am I supposed to do
and
now?
And this is what scares me about this industry, and that's why I like having conversations around these things with people that are in there and that understand this business. Because this is not a myth. This happens.
Yes. I mean, I've been raped by management.
So now would you...
So this one is a taker. Then you've got this... The ego is so ridiculous that even when they know your magic, they just still gotta get it in. And I feel bad for the kids that don't believe in their magic enough to know that it'll happen in time as long as you just keep doing it with all the time that you've got.
Please say that again, please.
Everything will happen in time as long as you just keep doing what you want to be successful at, literally. You don't have to rush it by having someone insert themselves in you.
Yeah.
Not everyone sleeps their way. Fuck what they say, because I've had someone say to me, I've slept with this one, and I was like, oh, wow, must be great. So now I'm going to open my legs for you for your next one. Amazing. Adding that part, because I said no already. And no again. I'm not the one. You can have your chats with your boys, wanking on the visuals you see off my ass. You will never touch my ass.
Amen to that.
So it's crazy because it's really helped the violations assisted in me creating a world where I can walk around in panties and finding the tribe that also feels liberated by you. I mean, Elton John called me to say I'm the joy the world needs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm just like, Elton John. Do you know, there's so many crazy moments like that just keep stamping what your purpose is. I bring joy through reality and storytelling. I liberate and I remind people who the fuck they are.
I have nothing to say. I have nothing to add. It's just drop mic. Now, like you spoke about it, you are a mother to your beautiful kids, with amazing brain. Like I had a quick chat with the one right here.
They're
in studio.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But and I was impressed just picking her brain a bit. So you being a mother, how did that influence or change how you approach your creativity? Did that slow it down or it sharpened it more?
Sharpened it more because I grew up watching greats die from The Diary, but we've already spoken about The Diary and The Light You Bring. I've seen greats die poor, and I saw I'm never going to die poor. I'm not going to die famous and poor. So that automatically got me in tune with the business and figuring stuff out. For instance, like there's a thing like I've done where a motherfucker tried to screw me over on a song that I did majority of, and then added more people, and then they give me 10%. You know what I did? I stole my song, got a session musician to sample me, approved the sample, then got 100% of the master and publishing, paid 5,000 rands for the sampling, and then the sync deals are only coming to the 100% version of mine.
Wow.
That's when I was like, you're fucking with the wrong one. I've been here long enough, and I learned a lot of things in the streets. I've been here long enough to even know how to steal my own song back if they're giving me a small percentage. Fortunately, I've got a global team now. I've got a global sync team. So my stuff from record, it goes straight to the team. They start selling it before it's even mastered. They start shopping it around. So for instance, FIFA, I always know a year in advance with FIFA because the contract, you get it a year in advance. So it's things like that. There's things that you learn from experience where you have to kubeka and you're going to learn. There's things that I think I've got like a couple of cheat codes with regards to just learning what the business is, and knowing how to make it work for you when they try to screw you over in the business, because a lot of the times they don't know what you know. They just know how to screw, but they don't know how to be screwed back without fights, without anything, just quiet. Then you sing the syncs, and you see the. I'll change the title, but the live performances as well are my 100% version. So all royalties are coming back to me.
Wow.
And that song can do whatever it is. You can give me that 10%, take whatever, but I hope it lasts you forever. Because me, I'm here forever. I'm going to die at 85 after
one of
my exclusive shows, and I do 10 shows a year
globally. Of course. Who can mess with the moon, man? Come on.
And
now,
after 85, I said I'm going to die after my last show.
Yeah. So motherhood.
This is my life, man.
So motherhood locked you in.
Motherhood locked me in harder because I had this thing of like, I'm never going to have them see me survive and not live life. I'm not going to teach them you can survive in the meantime and put your dreams at the back burner. I'm going to struggle in this thing. I'm going to be against the wall with this thing so that if I die tomorrow, anyone who looks after them and they try to tell them dreams are not possible, they don't believe them because their entire existence was lived through me living my dream. So everything that they have is paid through me living my dreams, because everything is possible. So even if I die today, it's not a theory that people think are possible. I'm absent. I'm always at work. They saw me for 79 days last year. Automatically, they naturally work harder because it's not a theory. Work hard, play hard. It's not a theory. It's what they're experiencing.
They live,
there's things I could say. It's possible. It's not a theory. I am showing possibility. So it starts with even just mine. So how their minds are set up as well, like logic, they use a lot of logic because there's that thing of like, you're not asking me the obvious. I used to hate my brother. I'd be like, in China, and he'd be like, what do you think? And I thought it was so mean, but I use my logic so much. Excuse me. When I did it to her, she was thinking like that. Then I hear her do it to the twins, I'm so like, what do you think? Just using their minds. And in general, so I've just bred bad bitches. I just feel bad for, I feel bad for mothers that are not breeding their sons for the girls that we're breeding these times. Teaching boys to know how to feel wanted and not just needed, because they feel useless when they're not needed. But we're breeding girls that won't need men, but they have choices, options to want, to choose whoever they want.
Wow.
So good luck to the boy moms, because the girls we're breeding, I'm going to operate on that need. Yeah. Choice. I can tell you now, the idea of choice.
The society needs that. The society needs that because we are facing what we're facing right now because of a lot of dependency, you know. And that's why they've been taken advantage of. So at a level, we really need that. I'm really happy to hear that. I'm really happy that you're planting that seed. You've said it better. I mean, I feel like we just need like 2 hours to chop it up. I feel like time flew by real
quick.
There's
no way an hour's gone.
It's gone.
It's so nice.
But listen.
My God. I haven't had such a nice interview in a minute. I had this other interview. The guy was macking on me this entire interview, asking me about misogyny while he was asking me misogynist questions.
Oh.
You could tell that I was so annoyed.
Oh my God. I hope you had a blast with me.
What?
You're going to be a friend of the show very soon.
I had a real blast.
So what's happening with you? What's next? What's coming? Let's let them know. We're going to put every details on the description. Where are they catching you? What's going on?
Yeah, so you can go on my socials, Moonchild Saneli, everywhere. And then my website, moonchildsaneli.com, moonchildsaneli.com, to check out my tour dates. You can buy a ticket for any part of the world. Get your visas together. Mm. I've written my latest album. I'm recording this week. And I'm going to be touring that album just now. So I'm sure I'm going to finish everything probably like next 2 weeks. Because I'm quick. And it's worse when I've already written.
Yeah.
So I'll probably take a week, not rushed. But I could probably lace everything. But to lace properly for the album.
Yeah.
I'll probably be like 3 days. But I think the location will be the big producers I'm working with from the UK. So for where I'm performing, moonchildsaneli.com. And then what album is coming out? So I'm in my bubble right now. I leave my house, go to work, and I go back to the house.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, and the great thing is that people always assume I'm overseas and they don't see me.
Mm.
So I get to be in my bubble and just like tap in. I don't drink when I'm writing because I need to tap in. And so I don't party, I don't socialize. I'm locked in. So we're going to be, it's the album coming out soon. So I don't even know the name. I don't even know the genre I'm doing next. All I know is, I don't know. All I know is I know the people I'm going to be working with because I've picked them. So I know Muzi is going to be curating. He's going to be doing the majority of the album. He's going to make all the songs flow. I know I've got Durban Gogo is going to be curating the piano side of my album.
Mabena.
Muzi. Muzi. So Muzi is a part of the project. He's producing most of it.
Yeah.
Durban Gogo is curating the dance part of it because I'm never really home to know what's in trend. Mm. And she's my girl, very close.
Yeah.
So she's curating the mapiano one. She's producing that side. Then I'm going to have a touch of Gom. I'm getting Agento from Durban. And then I'm going to have my pop alternative dance. Yeah. So this project, I feel like, it's the first time I'm actually saying it out loud, actually on record.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be a beautiful dance project because I'm basically putting my worlds together, my dance worlds together.
Everything.
I'm going to have my slow jams and all that jazz. I've got, I don't know if you know Kunana Kwabena. He's also Grammy nominated again this year. He works with Janelle and Chidena.
I haven't heard, but yeah.
So he did this thing. He sent me an EP of a jazz remix of the song of me with me and Gogo, and it's so dope. And I was just like, oh, Nana, we're boys, we've been boys for years. So I'm like, oh, actually, I feel like I want to, can't say it, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
so I've got like crazy people on it. I can't name the international ones.
It's a surprise, basically.
Of course, I have to have surprise. That's Moonchild, not a surprise.
Like, oh, man.
That's going to be exciting. So touring, what I usually do. I'm going to be doing a show in South Africa, so stay locked onto my socials.
Yeah.
I'll let you know soon. Probably even as soon as I'm done with the album. Yeah. Just now.
Definitely.
Soon, so, yeah.
I can promise you this right now on record. The essay ones, I'll pull up. Definitely, okay. I'll get my ticket. I'll even post it. I'll buy it.
Okay.
Europe.
Why not?
Not so sure. Unless you pack me with.
Put it out there.
No. Most deaf.
However you speak.
I'm jamming
with doubt. When you're not sure, the universe is listening to you and waiting for you when you're sure. Sound crazy amongst the people you're speaking of, you're speaking to us. I mean, when you're speaking to yourself about yourself or to them about yourself, yeah, and what you're going to do next, without divulging what you're going to do next in detail, saying I'm going to Europe in 2026, the universe is listening and something will happen out of the blue. Don't speak in doubt at all, because if it doubts you, if you're doubting yourself, it hears your doubt. Until you're sure, it hears you.
And then let's take it to another level. Then I am coming to GM with the bruv. There's a bruv that said,
brother.
So bruv.
Probably should come to the UK. Yeah. And you can watch one of my shows, or you can go, you go anywhere in Europe or in Scandinavia.
It's done. Say less.
It's done.
Man, if you enjoyed this conversation with the Queen Moonchild, please do hit that like. Don't forget to subscribe, share the conversation, tap in with the family. And guys, thank you so much for the growth. I really appreciate you guys subscribing, engaging, talking. The channel is really growing. I see it from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much. And we just launched the membership. So now you can get to catch what didn't make the cut, what me and Moonchild spoke about. Angazi which is Khulumengani. So just be a member, then check it out. Guys, see you on the next episode. This is Success Unscripted with Peter Manjet. Mom.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is epic.
Another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.